my shoes and out the door. 5, I'm alive. 6, 7, 8, feeling great.
BYWG Tribe, this is Dr. Noah. We wanted to make you aware of our carefully selected book, product, and supplement of the month for August 2019. Keep in mind, all the links, discount codes, and special offers for the product, book, and supplement will be listed in the show notes in iTunes, posted on social media, in our weekly newsletter, and on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab. The product of the month is Dry Farm Wines. Natural wines are all the rage, and this, in our estimation, and many others, is the best of the best in the natural wine movement. The team at Dry Farm Wines curates the finest natural wines that are lab-tested and delivered directly to your door. No hangover, no headaches, no uninterrupted sleep, low alcohol, sugar and carb-free, low sulfates, and mycotoxin-free. For our loyal listeners, we have a very special offer for you, a penny bottle of wine. Using the link www.dryfarmwines.com/BYWG. Remember, the link will be in the show notes. I've been enjoying Dry Farm Wines 4 years. In fact, 2.5 years ago, I met the creator of Dry Farm Wines, Todd White, at the New York City Christmas Functional Forum meeting. You can listen to me interview Todd White from Dry Farm Wines in the podcast archives at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com at the Listen Now tab under Biohacking Healthy Wines and Microdosing Alcohol with Todd White. Our August supplement of the month is BYWG's Magnesium Glycinate. Magnesium is one of the most common deficiencies in our current research and is a critical part in over 200 processes in the human body. Magnesium supplementation is suggested for many people and can be especially helpful for improved sleep, improved mood, muscle cramping, bone density, and much more. This form of magnesium, magnesium glycinate, is well absorbed and less irritating to the digestive system, so it's preferable to other forms of magnesium. For the month of August, using this code, and it's case sensitive, I want mag, it's all lowercase, IWANTMAG, you will receive 10% off your magnesium. The direct link will be in the show notes, or you can go directly to our website and find it there as well, along with a complete spec sheet at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com. Lastly, our book of the month is Beating Endo, How to Reclaim Your Life from Endometriosis. June 8th and June 15th, I had the opportunity to interview the co-authors, Dr. Iris Orbuck and Dr. Amy Stein. Millions of women suffer from this condition, and this book is a must-read, and the podcast interviews are fantastic. You can check the direct link to the book in the show notes. Be awesome and never unawesome, and enjoy the upcoming podcast. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Noah and Dr. Mike, two-thirds of your BYWG team. In this podcast release, we will take an in-depth look at one of our premium supplements, magnesium glycinate. We went deep, very deep, looking at all the different types of magnesium to provide you with what we consider the best, most absorbable, easy on the stomach form of magnesium available. Just so you have it handy, while we go through all the specs, the 10% discount code for the month of August is I want mag. It's all lowercase. It is case sensitive. It's IWANTMAG. You can purchase it online or on our website at www.beyondyourwildestgenes.com, or if you're local, you could pick it up at the office as well.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Beyond Your Wildest Genes podcast. I am your co-host today, Dr. Mike Akinfor, and I'm thrilled to have Jen Maleka on the phone today. Jen, how are you?
I am wonderful. Thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here and talk with you.
I am so excited. The soccer gods were not kind and kept having me cancel on you. And I am so sorry, but I am thrilled to finally be able to talk to you. I'm going to read Jen's bio and then we're going to get into it. So Jen Maleka supports busy, health-minded professionals in taking back control of their health by giving them access to the right lab tests and resources so that they can find the missing pieces of their health puzzle and actually fix what is wrong and get back to feeling like themselves. Using over a decade of personal training experience, training in functional diagnostic nutrition and transformational coaching, she's created personalized health rebuilding programs for clients that are realistic and sustainable for long-lasting results and that empower clients to be the boss of their own health. If you're ready to look at the big picture of your health and not just one disconnected piece at a time, to embrace healthy as a way of being and to stop settling for anything less than what you deserve when it comes to your health and happens, then Jen is exactly who you've been looking for. You can look Jen up online at The Holistic Health Boss, and that's WHOLISTICHEALTHBOSS.com. It'll be in the show notes, but I want to make sure you get that before we even start. So, Jen, welcome to the show.
Thank you. So excited to be here.
So let's unpack this a little bit. Tell me how you developed this program. What is the Holistic Health Boss about?
Yeah, so I am a functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner, which is a mouthful. It basically means that I am somewhere in between your average health coach and a naturopathic doctor. So I do a lot of the same testing that a naturopathic doctor does. I just don't diagnose or write prescriptions. And I also provide the people that I work with extra support, like a health coach, you know, to help guide them on their journey to reclaiming their health and feeling like their best selves again. And really, I got into this work because I was having my own health issues. And I was a personal trainer at the time. So I'd been in the health and wellness industry for a while. And I was just noticing that kind of the old paradigms of what we had been taught around diet and exercise and calorie counting and everything that I had been taught in school just weren't actually meeting people's needs anymore. They weren't getting the results that they should have been getting for the time that they had been working on it. And as I said earlier, I was having my own health issues. And so I started to dive deeper into this work of, you know, just the functional aspects of what's going on in the body. Kind of functional medicine is how we, I think, encompass this type of work. And went through this training program and got all these skills. And now I really have this passion for just helping people like feel like themselves again, because I think that all of us know our bodies best. Nobody knows your body better than you do. And we have to stop settling for anything less than what we deserve when it comes to our health and wellness. And you are the number one person who, you know, can identify that essentially, but sometimes you need a helping hand and you need guides like ourselves to help you find those missing pieces and to help, you know, move you along in your journey. And that's what I essentially help people do, basically.
That's awesome. And then you combine that with transformational coaching. Talk to me about that. What is transformational coaching?
Yeah. And, you know, transformational coaching is this really awesome piece that I get to add to the mix. And it is training in neuro-linguistic programming. And I love being able to offer this skill for my clients, because I think out in the diet and exercise or even the health industry, you know, there's so much emphasis on discipline and grit and like working hard. And if you're not getting results, then you must not be working hard enough is kind of the conception that comes across. And that's really not true in a lot of cases. What most people don't realize is that our belief systems are established usually by the age of 5. And so oftentimes when you find yourself like self-sabotaging or not following through with actions, it's not for a lack of discipline or determination. It's often because you have these like old belief systems that are kind of running in the background that are toying with your ability to make yourself a priority or with your self-worth. Or like these unsaid rules that maybe you have within your family that are just kind of posing as blocks for you being able to take action. And a lot of times it, you know, is basically messing with your identity. Like we can take a kind of the classic scenario of somebody who's overweight. And if they're self-sabotaging, like one of the things that might be going on is that, you know, they've been the overweight person in their family their whole entire life. And so they start to question, and they don't even consciously realize that they're doing this sometimes, but they start to question, well, if I lose weight, then what is the role that I play in the family? I'm no longer going to be the overweight person that everybody shuffles all of their leftover food over to, or that people, you know, look to me for desserts and things like that. And so it really messes with that identity piece. We don't always realize it. So that's where I get to step in with my clients and kind of help on this mindset side of things. Because one of the things that I am also very passionate about and that I say is that healthy is not just a way, or it's not just a matter of doing, it's a way of being. And so you could be doing all the healthy things in the world, like eating healthy and exercising. But if your, you know, way of being, like if you're still a maniac inside of your head who's trying to control everything and not prioritizing yourself, like all of those healthy things that you're doing kind of fall to the wayside. They're not as effective as they could be unless you really embrace like a new way of like navigating life, essentially.
And this is the, this is truly the secret sauce, which helps you to help others be successful. How it was said to me was, we don't actually have an information problem. We have an implementation problem.
Oh, I love that.
Absolutely. And this is it right here. You've nailed this with your clients. Talk to me about what is NLP and how that helps you. You went into it a little bit, but talk, like we could talk about Reed Davis and the functional program that he has. That is the vehicle, but this is what drives that vehicle. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about NLP.
It drives the behavior change aspects of it. And it's, you know, some people might be familiar with positive psychology. It's actually a little bit different than positive psychology as well. So what it really does is, you know, I think the best way to describe it is, you know, if we think about the belief systems that get established when we're really young. So I always give this example of, you know, think about a child that's maybe like 2 years old and they're crying in their crib. They need something from mom. They're hungry. And mom comes in. She opens the door, but the doorbell rings at the same time. And she's waiting for a package that she has to sign for. And so she leaves the crying child to go sign for the package. And in that instance, like the mom didn't do anything malicious, right? She was prioritizing having to sign this package. But in that moment in time, when we are young, we can perceive that instance in many different ways. And sometimes a child in that moment might, you know, make that mean something about them. Like, I needed something from mom and she left me. So now I no longer have a right to need anything. And so therefore, as they grow up into adulthood, they have, they struggle with prioritizing themselves. They struggle with asking for their own needs to be met. We see this trickle down into so many ways because then they're not expressing themselves. They're not communicating, which can block the energy centers of the throat chakra, which relate to the thyroid. And then that gets into the whole energetic side of our health and the metaphysical parts. But this is a great example of just those belief systems that get established at a really young age. And we don't even recognize oftentimes that they're getting being established, or that they're kind of running in the background throughout our life. So with the NLP work, when I am working with clients, we look to uncover some of these old belief systems that have really been dictating how it is that they've been living and how it is that they've been taking care of themselves. And when we don't ever change the instance of what happened, like what happened will always have happened. We just change how we perceive, you know, what it is that happened to rewire that belief system, essentially. And so it's kind of opening up choice for the client. And when we open up and see that there is opportunity for choice, or that we have choices, it's much easier for us to sit there and evaluate the choices at hand, and then to make choices that are in our best interest and that are the most supportive for our health, basically.
That's awesome. I love that. That's getting to the root of what most people's issues are. So, you know, they may use, you may work with a client that's overweight, and the underlying issue is something that occurred and has been entrained in their brain, like you said, as a child. And they, this is all they know. So how do you go about retraining the mind? Is it identify first? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, it's this interesting process where we actually kind of tap into that younger version of you where the belief system got rooted in, essentially. And now that you're a logical adult, we can kind of stand from the outside of that situation and see, like, you know, was that an appropriate assessment to make? Like, if we go back to the example of the, you know, the child whose mom left to go sign for the package, we can look and, like, that child at that moment in time was saying, like, well, now I don't have a right to need anything, like, mom left me. And so it's kind of, we call it re-imprinting in neurolinguistic programming, where we go through this process of kind of relating to that younger version of ourselves, and also looking at it from a rational standpoint of, you know, asking the question, like, you know, if you had a room full of 2-year-olds, does any single one of those 2-year-olds not have a right to need? And the person would usually say, well, no, absolutely. Like, every single 2-year-old has a right to need. Like, they cannot, you know, do for themselves. And that's how we start to re-imprint kind of that perception that they have, and call upon, like, internal and external resources also to help them just, you know, again, like, they're not changing the actual thing that happened. They're just changing how they perceived it. So now they no longer have that old outdated perception. They have a new perception of what the circumstances were, and those new knowings, like that new intelligence that they have, we kind of then will work through, we go through a visualization process of kind of building that into the, to their timeline along their life. And so we go through this visualization of, like, holding that knowing, that new knowing with them, and then bringing that up into their adulthood. And that helps them to do, you know, things a little bit differently. There's other aspects too, where we work on what we call, like, their parts of their ecology, which relates to the identity piece of, well, I don't know who I would be if I'm not this anymore.
Sure.
You know, so I don't, and this doesn't just show up with people who are overweight. This shows up in all aspects of your life, right? So let's take the example of a mother. Like, mothers are caretakers, that they kind of are the martyrs of the family. Like, they hold down the fort at home oftentimes. And so they will sometimes have a hard time giving those things up in order to prioritize their health. So we go through this process of identifying, well, what would you have to let go of that you value in order to have what it is that you desire? And oftentimes, like, it's just a process of walking them through and kind of getting them to see that what I'm valuing over myself, I don't actually have to value, because if I actually prioritize myself, then I can show up better to be the martyr or the caretaker, or, like, maybe when I let go of those things, I will give everybody else in my family the dignity to, like, really come into their own and be responsible and contribute in the household. Like, I'm holding on to it so much. And when I do that,
did I lose you? Hello? Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay, that's you're weird. Back.
Okay. Did you catch everything that I was saying?
No.
Oh, no. Okay.
Last thing I have written down is prioritize yourself. Prioritize myself.
Okay, so had I gotten into the example of the mom?
Yes. I think okay. Just after that. Pick up from there. Yeah.
Okay. So let's pick up from there. So another example would be a mom. So moms oftentimes are, you know, they're running the household. They're like the martyrs. They're the ones that are holding down the fort and doing all the things. And they have the hardest time letting go of all the things in order to prioritize their health, because in their mind, they might be thinking, well, if I'm not doing all of these things, if I'm not running the household or doing all the things around the household and holding down the fort and being the martyr, then what value do I bring to my family system and who am I? And so when we go through this process of, you know, the understanding what is tied to their identity, we can start to ask questions such as, you know, well, what would you have to let go of that you value in order to make your health more of a priority? God. And so we start to open up choice in this kind of way where they can see, like, sometimes how silly it is, some of the things that they're hanging on to. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if it's maybe it's like carpooling, right? Like they would have to let go of carpooling in order to have more time to take care of themselves in the morning or in the afternoon times. Then we can take a look at and say, okay, you know, what would help you feel comfortable letting go of that? Like what support or resources do you need in order to take action on that? And it's implementing, like, understanding, do they need to recruit another mom or their husband to help out? And so it's just this like shift to get them to see that there is choice and that they still bring value to the table, even if they're not doing all the things. And I was kind of an example of this myself, like, all, you know, through high school, I was an athlete and I took all the advanced courses. And then I went into college and I worked a part-time job and I did an internship and I went to college full time. And right when I got out of college, I immediately landed a job. And within 8 months of having that job, I moved up into management. And then I found myself shortly thereafter, like running a multi-million dollar fitness facility. And this was all by the time I was like 24 and always had been in the pursuit of success. But what I sacrificed as a result of that was my health. So I climbed the career ladder really fast and pursued this need for success while sacrificing my health. And that really related back to my identity of growing up in a divorced household and always trying to be perfect and, you know, perfect with my grades and like a perfect student and perfect athlete in order to be loved and recognized and to have attention. And so I really had to let go of that need to do that and recognize that I'm valuable just as who I am. All those things don't make me valuable. And when I did that, then it made room for me to actually prioritize my health and take better care of myself.
That's brilliant. I love that. I love this type of work. I've gone through it myself in using it for self-worth issues. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a big one for most people. And the really interesting thing is I'm 53, so I had that entrained in me from the time I was probably 5 or 6. It was that long ago, and it really, in a successful chiropractic career, in a successful entrepreneurial career, it finally, I was able to work my way through those things. And it was, I want to say it was simple, but it wasn't easy. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely.
And
yeah.
Saying exactly what you said about just I'm worthy because I am. I'm not worthy because of I did X, Y, and Z. I think that's really, really hard for people.
Yes. It's extremely difficult. I mean, in our society, we emphasize value so much in work ethic a lot of times, right? Like how much we can do, whether that's in a traditional job setting or even at home. And I just was talking about this on another podcast recently, and I gave the example of, remember our recent election when Hillary Clinton got really sick and she continued to campaign. And I was like, no, this is exactly the opposite of what our society needs to be seeing, is that she's literally here sacrificing herself in the pursuit of the campaign. And I think that it was setting like a poor example for women especially, but even for men out there. And we see this happen in the workplace all the time. When people are sick, what do? They still show up for work and they just work through it. And that's not what our body needs. You know, our body will do anything that we ask it to, but that doesn't necessarily mean that we should. And what is usually driving that when we're pushing our limits is because we are trying to meet an expectation that we might think others have of us, but it's mostly what we have of ourselves, that we're trying to meet this, you know, criteria that we've made up in our mind of like, I am only worthy if I do X, Y, and Z, essentially. And we're perfect just the way that we are. We don't have to constantly be proving ourselves all the time, especially through our work.
Absolutely. It's really interesting in diving into this, because you can, when I have moms come into the office and they are overwhelmed, they're exhausted, they're not sleeping, they're the last ones to eat their dinner, all the things. And mm-hmm. I tell them, you know, the first thing I tell them is, you've got to teach your children, especially your daughters, that you come first. And mm-hmm. that's not selfish. That's self-preservation. That's showing them that you're strong enough to do that. And that's, and is truly, and I know you see this with your clients as well, it's a foreign concept.
Yes.
It's like, how dare I take the time for myself? And then we all use the analogy of, yeah, ever go on a plane and you remember what the flight attendant right. says, you know, in event of emergency, please put your safety mask on last. No, put it on first.
Right.
And it's so foreign for people to think that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. you know, I'll tell a mom, go get a massage, or, you know, at the very least, go get your nails done. Do for you. And, right. and tell the kids, you're staying with dad or you're staying with grandma, grandpa, and I'm going to go do this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And that's really, really, really important. It is a self-worth. We almost, you know, Jen, we almost look at it as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
I can do the most. I will, you know, sacrifice the most. And at the end of the day, what are you left with?
Nothing. That's the problem. You know, I think that, I don't know where it got started that we decided that self-care was selfish, but it's actually the most selfless act that you can do, because at the end of the day, you can only show up as much for others as you show up for yourself.
Bingo.
So if you're not filling your tank, you know, if you're not going to the gas station and filling your personal tank on a daily basis, you're constantly running around town with half a tank of gas or probably on fumes. And at that point in time, you know, you are not present for your children or your loved ones. You know, you're not clear-minded. Your mood is not balanced. You don't have enough energy. The rest of the health issues start to pile on, and it just happens that most people don't take action on it until they've reached a point where their health issues are really starting to affect their quality of life. And at that point in time, it takes so much more time to really untangle the mess and get back on track, versus if we just started being more proactive and preventative, we would prevent a lot of the future issues down the road, or we would reverse them a lot quicker. It's kind of like I talk about, you know, meditation. Like, so many people think or have this like perception that I'm going to use meditation when I'm stressed. Mm. And I say, well, what if you just used it on a daily basis despite your level of stress, so that you could handle stress when you encounter it much better, like be more calm and open-minded about what's happening and able to recover from it quicker. I was like, or maybe there's just things that are dropping into your stress cup on a daily basis that you don't even recognize. And so if you're just being proactive about meditating or doing deep breathing on a daily basis, you're being proactive about emptying your stress cup, you know, every single day. So it doesn't fill up to the brink of overflowing, essentially.
Awesome. That I was going to ask you, you triggered something in my head. So when, beside meditation, what do you do to help people refuel their tanks? So somebody comes to you and what is it that you're, what's your go-to? What do you find works, I want to say, for most people most of the time?
Sleep. I think that, you know, I was like, what is something that everybody can do that is just, it's accessible to everybody, that doesn't take much? And that would be sleep. And I say that we need to start valuing sleep more than we do diet and exercise, or even some of the, you know, stress relieving techniques like meditation, because at the end of the day, if you're not getting good quality, restful sleep, you know, again, those efforts are just going to the wayside. You can be eating the healthiest diet, but if you're getting crappy sleep, then it, your blood sugar is going to be in out of balance. Your hormones are going to be a mess. Like, you're never going to get over that hurdle. And same thing with exercise. If you're exercising and you're sleeping crappy, then your exercise gains are not going to be what you would hope that they would be. Or if your sleep is a mess all the time and you're trying to combat that with meditation, you're going to have to meditate like twice as much in order to get the same results because your sleep is such a disaster. And sleep helps to balance everything. It's part of our natural rhythm. It's part of our natural way of being. We are diurnal animals or mammals. So we have nocturnal, you know, animals, which would be things like your cats that are up, you know, in the middle of the night. And we're diurnal, which means that we're day dwelling type of organisms. And so therefore we should be sleeping at nighttime. And that is such a huge problem that I see with so many people, is that they have identified as being a night owl. So they're burning the candle at both ends. They're wired but tired in the evening time. They do their best work. And especially, you know, kind of the busy professionals out there that do have children, you know, the kids go to bed and then they stay up working, right, to get the rest of everything done that they have to do, which really negatively impacts their sleep patterns. And when sleep is off, you can guarantee that everything else is off in the system. It's going to, you know, diminish your ability to handle stress. It's going to negatively impact every single system of the body, and it's going to make you feel awful. And no matter how much you try to sleep in on the weekends or you sleep in during the day, if you're not sleeping during the critical periods of when we should be sleeping, then you're never going to make up for that lost time. And that's just the way that our body is built according to our circadian rhythm.
Yeah, and as much as I love coffee, you can't coffee yourself out of a bad sleep,
right?
it really, you know, it's I love coffee, and you know, for me, just a couple of hits on that. Listen, having done over now we're in our fourth year of doing podcasts, and we've had summits that we've done, so we've probably done between 350 interviews, and listening to thousands of podcasts, and the one common thread that I have heard, and these are people far smarter than me, far more successful than me, is meditation. It comes back to meditation, and meditation, we can now track this, and Jen, you hit it right on the head. We can track our sleep now, and I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, in tracking this for the last 4 years, is I sleep better when I meditate before I go to bed. Mm-hmm. Not even close. Not even in the same ballpark. It's night and day. And these are people that are doing the CEOs, and we like to think, oh, this is just foo-foo stuff, or, you know, I can sleep when I'm dead. Like, I don't need that machismo thing. Like, oh, I don't need sleep. And that goes back to college when we pulled all-nighters, or when we went to the bar and pulled all-nighters for some of us. But it's really fascinating how it comes down to something that's that simple, and it's almost elusive for us.
Right. And the crazy thing is that it is accessible to everybody, right?
Everybody.
You don't need some fancy gadget or anything like that in order to accomplish it. You don't need a meal plan. Like, we just need to sleep. And also with meditation, I think that people overcomplicate that as well, which is something that's accessible. You don't need a crazy app. You don't need, you know, anything. Those things are all like nice to have tools when it comes to meditation. I mean, meditation is as simple as doing some deep breathing work that gets you into a parasympathetic state. It can be as simple as closing your eyes and just tuning into your body and kind of scanning your body to see how it feels and spending some time with yourself, you know? And it really comes down to just getting your body into a more parasympathetic state more frequently. So in our modern day world, we're constantly on the move. From the time that we wake up, we're task oriented to like brushing our teeth, cooking breakfast, getting the kids ready, getting myself ready, getting out the door, driving somewhere, meeting, lunch, meeting, drive home, do whatever. And we rarely ever stop and pause. We're always kind of on this autopilot. And here is, for your listeners, like, here's the crazy thing, guys. Your body can only heal when it's in a relaxed state.
Yep.
And so you think about like the only time that you are, if you're not meditating, the only time that you are relaxing is hopefully during your sleep, if you're getting good sleep. If you're not getting good sleep, then you're not even relaxing, getting into a parasympathetic state then. And then when you are meditating, that's another way. And meditating is such a tricky word because, again, like, there's many different forms of meditation. So let's just say meditating means anything that's kind of like relaxing, where you're getting into this, you know, parasympathetic, relaxed kind of state. Could be that deep breathing. That's the other moment in time that we can support our body in healing and recovering just on a day-to-day basis. So like a simple tool that I have a lot of my clients use is I have them do the 5-5-7 breath before every single meal, which is you inhale for 5, you hold it for 5, and you exhale for 7. And I have them do that 10 times before every single meal. And what's fascinating is that when they do that, they instantly see improvements in their digestive ability and how they're feeling, and it reduces their bloating, and they have better bowel movements, and they start to have more energy as a result of that, because they're getting into a parasympathetic state before eating, which helps them to digest better. But again, we're just like in this constant state of movement, and meditation is so incredibly effective because it gets us into that place of being parasympathetic, rest and digesting. And we're just not getting enough of that throughout our time.
Absolutely. I don't want that to go. I don't want anybody to miss that. So just explain again what a 5-5-7 breath is, Jen.
Yes, it is inhaling for 5 seconds. You count, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 would you be your inhale. You hold it for 5 seconds, and then you do a longer exhale where you exhale for 7 seconds. And then you would repeat that somewhere between 5 to 10 times. It takes, you know, less than 2 minutes to do. And the cool thing is that you can really do this absolutely anywhere, right? You could be sitting in a meeting right before lunchtime at a conference table with a bunch of people. And if you're breathing this way, nobody's going to know the difference. Or you could be sitting on a conference call breathing this way, preparing for like lunch is coming next. Nobody's going to know the difference. Or walking through, you know, an airport, you can be doing this breath anytime. And whenever we adopt this deep rhythmic breathing pattern, it automatically flips the switch in our brain. And our brain kind of says like, wait, I thought I was stressed out, but I'm breathing like a relaxed person, so I must be relaxed. And it gets us immediately out of that sympathetic state and gets us into that parasympathetic relaxed mode.
Absolutely. So we're out of the, we're out of the fight flight, condition phase, and more into the relaxation mode. And as you said, I mean, I'm in the Northeast. There we don't relax much. We have a hard time relaxing. So, That's brilliant. I'm really cognizant of your time, folks. We this is a late one for both of us. Do you have a few more minutes? Are we okay on time?
Yeah, we're definitely okay on time.
Cool. So this dials back to so now we have the big picture stuff, and what makes what you do so special. Talk to me about working with folks that come, the people who come to see you that have like autoimmune disease, and you've got to do labs on them and stuff like that. Is that part of what you do?
That is a big piece of what I do, because the lab work helps us to identify some of the, you know, underlying healing opportunities that they are within the, that are happening within the body. So it lets us to see, it gives us, you know, insights about the big picture of where dysfunction is happening. And then we can see like, where can we support the body in order to coach up function in the body so they can be, you know, getting, they can feel better. And I also find that the lab results are extremely motivating for somebody when they can see on paper exactly kind of the work that needs to be done and what's going on internally. And I know for myself and many of the people that I work with too, going and getting traditional, you know, annual physicals and blood work done, like I would go to my doctor and they would constantly be telling me like, you know, well, you're the picture of perfect health. You look great, but that's not how I felt.
Right.
And it was often dismissed. And so the functional lab testing that I do actually looks at the physiological aspects of what's happening in the body and the different systems, the hormone, immune, digestion, detoxification, energy, and nervous systems. And again, now we can use that information to guide very specific recommendations for diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, supplements that are going to help to support and restore function, even insights about toxins and what things need to be removed in that element as well. And so we have this work ahead of us. And then I infuse that transformational coaching side, because whatever that person is experiencing, like where those dysfunctions are currently happening and they have poor health, it's an accumulation of what's gone on over their lifetime. And so from the transformational side of it, now we work to establish new lifestyle behaviors and habits that are going to support, you know, the long-term sustainable results. Because at the end of the day, if you change your diet, but if you don't change who you are, you're just going to rebound back to the old previous diet that made you like unhealthy in the first place, right?
100%.
So you have to like learn how to be different. And that's where like this work just melds and marries together. And it's a perfect complement to really help people get the results that they're looking for and find success for a lifetime, really.
Absolutely. So they don't, you know, the interesting thing is if you, with the transformational work, if you get to the root cause, you're able to, for example, like I want to lose weight because I have my 30th reunion. That's not a good why. That's not a big enough why. But like somebody like myself, as somebody who had been 300 pounds, you know, when your wife gets sick and gets cancer and you realize that you might be the only one around, that's a really big why. That to be there for my kids. And thank God, you know, it's 10 years later and she's perfectly healthy and has never been healthier, but we've got to uncover the junk, deal with that, and then it drives all the other stuff. And you do both, and that's what's brilliant. And we've had a nutritionist with us, and I do some of this stuff with the applied kinesiology in the office, but labs are, in our society, labs are king. People want to see them. Or queen, whoever you want to put it. But they are. People want to see the black and white of it. They want to see it on paper. And this is brilliant, what you're doing. That's fantastic.
Thank you. It's beautiful work. I'm super passionate about it. I get to help people every single day, just, you know, feel better. And I love what you're saying is that the work is so much deeper than, you know, just losing the weight. And oftentimes people will come to me and that's on the surface level of, you know, I want to lose weight. And then we get into this deeper conversation of, well, what would losing weight do for you? How would it change your life? Yep. And then they'll say, well, I feel more confident, blah, blah, blah. And I'd say, great. And then what would having more confidence do for you? Mm-hmm. And it oftentimes really boils down to, you know, whatever they're experiencing is limiting them in some kind of way. And they're just not living life to the fullest. you know, and that's sad to them. And they may not even recognize it at first. And we go through that exploratory process and that really comes to light. And then now they're really connected intrinsically with that motivation of what is the bigger picture of what I'm really after here.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, Jen, it's been the hour's almost over. I really am grateful that you were able to come on the show and we were able to connect. What would you like to say before we leave tonight?
I would just like to say, you know, to people out there that I like to say, you know, people like us are in the business of making the impossible possible. And whatever is going on with you health-wise, just know that there is a solution out there for you. It's a matter of finding the right person to work with, maybe exploring and uncovering and rewiring some of the belief systems that are keeping you stuck, but your situation is not hopeless. And so continue searching, looking for, listening to the valuable resources that are available out there, and just know that you can reclaim your health and feel like your best self, and don't let anybody tell you otherwise.
Awesome. Where can people find you in the world?
Yeah, they can find me at my website, which I think you mentioned was holistichealthboss.com. And holistic is spelt with a W, just like the whole body or whole foods. I often am putting up a lot of content there. I tend to blog about once a week, or you can also find me on Instagram. I'm super active on Instagram at Holistic Health Boss, and also on Facebook at Holistic Health Boss as well.
Awesome. I will have all that in the show notes. Thanks again, Jen. I really appreciate it. I appreciate your patience in allowing me to spend time with my daughter and having to cancel on you last minute. Mm-hmm. It is greatly appreciated. And folks, do us a favor. If you like what you heard, please go to iTunes and leave a review. It helps us help others so that they can live their best life possible. So I want to say thanks again and good night and ciao.